Yeah, let's read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So just where you're standing, let's just pray. Lord, I thank you that we are standing here by grace, by mercy, Lord. And a scripture as simple as John 3:16, which we've heard many times, Lord, may it just take root in our hearts tonight again. And not just the scripture that we hear and just pass by, Lord. But thank you that, Father, you send your Son Jesus to die on a cross for us, to save us, Lord, from destruction, Lord. The price you paid is the price that we should have paid, Lord. But you took it all, God, upon yourself. Holy Spirit, we just invite you. Just where you're at, just open up your heart. Because we can either just hear the word tonight and leave this place, but I feel like the Lord wants to give us a fresh revelation of this. The love of the Father for us. And so, Father, I ask, just reveal to us again your love, Lord. Afresh in our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, you can sit. Oh, here's a legend. Thank you. I want to, a scripture like that is something that we've learned in primary school a lot. We've quoted it. If somebody asks, what's your favorite verse, you might be able to quote it from top to bottom, well, at least the half of it, until he gave us eternal life. But it's interesting that a scripture or a thing that we've heard many times becomes just the simple thing there again. And we want to go on and we want the new revelation, we want the new thing. And we can quote this, but has this truth really taken root in our hearts again? Do we constantly return to the love of the Father for us? A simple truth. A simple truth. But the truth that the gospel is built upon, which is the love of God for his people. That love for his people, that he would send his Son Jesus, a perfect man, perfect, God perfect, on the throne, angels bowing, elders throwing their crowns, holy, holy, day and night, that he would come down to his creation, us, the creation that messed up, that rejected him, that he would come down, become a man, be a baby in the manger, a manger that's full of poop and stuff because of the animals. We don't think of it. We see the baby Jesus with the halo and the But a filthy manger. That he will come, not as one proud and standing, but as a humble man coming to serve his people, to die on a cross for us. The death that you and I should have died, the wrath that you and I should have taken from the Father, the Son of God took. Is that truth still alive in our hearts? Is that still something that when we wake up, we go, thank you, Jesus. What great mercy is this? Something that I do not deserve. What great love is this? Grace. That you've given me eternal life. When we wake up in the morning, May our hearts cry out that prayer when we wake up, when we open up our eyes. Lord, that I could open my eyes this morning. That's mercy. The breath that we breathe in our lungs, that it not, might not be wasted. But it's the gift of God that He has given us. The gift of God. And I'm like, when we wake up like that, my goodness, watch out, world. Watch out, man. God's love for us. Like the psalmist, but Afrikaner is psalmist. You know you're an Afrikaner when you say psalmist, yeah. But like the psalmist wrote, return to me again the joy of my salvation. Have we lost the joy of our salvation? Have we lost that excitement and that hope and that, like, the fact that we can even gather here, the fact that I, Francois, am standing here is just mercy. It's because of God, not because of anything that I've done. The fact that we're sitting here is because of God and not anything that we could have done. And so tonight, I want to bring a simple truth, but an important one to us again. I want to ask us the question, why are we doing what we are doing? It's a good question to ask, eh? I'm thinking about a story now, but I'm probably going to mess it up, so I shouldn't tell it, eh? That's wisdom. I'm going to try. It's a good story. Where's my wife? When I need her. There at the back. So help me, Livy. So there's this story about the mom that's cutting the roast, the lamb's boat. You guys have heard it. She cuts it to put it in the pan, like cuts off all the nice meat to put it in the pan and put it into the oven. And her husband asked her, why do you do it? No, because my mom did it. Goes to the mom, why did you do it? No, because my mom did it. No. And it's because, and at the end they found out that actually way back then, the oma's pan wasn't big enough, so they had to cut it to put it in there. So they were just doing it to do it to do it. And I think sometimes what happens to us is we just keep on doing something and we forget why we're doing what we're doing. Yes? We forget why we're doing what we're doing. Why do we come to church on a Sunday? Why do we take 2 hours of our lives to come and sit here and not watch Seven the Lawn? No, joking. That's done. Praise God. Sorry, any Seven the Lawn fans. I was sitting this morning. We're going through orientation, membership. This is church. And we're sitting in one of the ladies' hostel rooms. And I'm looking at everyone around me. And I look outside and I see people walking past. And I go, you guys are giving three hours of your time. The two videos is 2 hours, and then I normally speak an hour, so 3 hours. But why do you give this time? It's so contrary to anything of this world that you would give 3 hours of your time this morning, 2 hours of your time tonight to church. Is it because we feel we have to, and this is the next step? Why do we do it? Why do we go to comm on a Wednesday night? Is it because our comm leader will ask us, where were you? And we've got new forms, and so now they're going to fill in. Ati is die comm leier, maar was hy daar nie? I have to pick on Ati a little bit. Why are we doing what we are doing? Why are we giving ourselves? Why are we meeting in people's houses? Why are we taking food to people? Is it because the elders said so? Why do I want to give everything of myself to you? Why can't I just do what I want to? Why are we doing what we are doing? You see, we can easily fall into a rut where we go, I'm just going through the motions. Just going through it. I have to be here. I'm coming to church. I'm going to sit. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Amen. Listen to the preach. Okay, cool. It's not my favorite preacher. Leonard's not here. Okay. Okay, I have to go home now. Like, it's Monday. It's work. Why are we doing what we are doing? See, we have to remind ourselves of this. You know, when we got saved, even we got excited. It's the most. We were speaking at we were in Bloemfontein, and I was speaking to someone about full time ministry. And it's so interesting when somebody gets saved. Most 90% of the time, they tell me, I feel I need to go into full-time ministry. And I go like, great. That's amazing. You know why? Because they understood the why in that moment. They understood that something just changed completely in their lives. And there's life, eternal life that just happened in their hearts. And for that very reason, they want to give their lives to this thing. I studied to become a lawyer. I don't care. I just want to be full-time in ministry, a full-time missionary. Go there. Go preach the gospel to all nations. Just be excited about that. It's amazing. Lune's pulling her face because she's like, I want to go to the nations. Amen. Amen. And it's good. But then as we grow up in our, and we go on, we start sometimes losing this why. And we forget that which we've tasted when we got saved. We forgot what happened in our hearts. We forgot that excitement. I always say I'll call the worship team because it's the best way of explaining it. But I ask them, why do you want to be there and sing from that stage? AV, why do you want to do that? Sound, why do you want to come very early and sit down very late? Is it because we're forcing you? Why are you doing this? What is motivating you to do it? And I think when we forget about the motivation, we lose the motivation. And when we receive a different motivation, just because I need to be something now, I have to put up a front because my Facebook status says I'm a Christian, because somebody's going to... then we're actually just doing dead works and it doesn't mean anything. We're actually just going through the motion and not making a change at all. Yes, there is a thing of obedience. Yes, there is a thing of you sacrificially doing this now. But I want to say, if love does not motivate you, slowly but surely you'll start withdrawing, because you'll forget the why. You'll forget why you are doing what you are doing. So the name of my preach is Motivated by Love. Motivated by Love. I want to look at Matthew 22, verse 56. And they asked Jesus this, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I just want to take a pause for a moment. I was convicted when I read that. I was like, with all your mind, with all your heart. All your heart. Not aspects, little rooms, this little part, all your heart. With all your soul, and with all your mind. You think of God. Your mind is busy with the things of Him the whole time. The writer of Hebrews says, when we start running the race, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Otherwise, we won't finish the race. The author and perfecter of our faith. The one who saved us, the author, and the perfecter, the one who will complete our salvation one day. That we will look like Him one day. Are we still focused on Jesus while we're doing this? Is our mind still focused on, Lord, I love you so much, I just want to give it all. This is why I'm standing here. This is why I'm jumping the way I'm jumping in front, because I'm just so excited about you. This is why I come to church, Lord, because I know that there's something of a plan that you want to do through your church, through the body, the vehicle of the church, Lord, and I want to give myself to it because you have given yourself to this. You have given yourself to this. When Jesus died on the cross, he had a plan. He didn't just die and went like, oh, I hope this works. He had a plan. The Father had a plan. He sent the Son with a plan, with a purpose. Oh, may we, may we be in love with him. May the Lord restore again the joy of our salvation. Man, I'm like, I was planning a preach, but here we go. We're going this way. I really felt in the prayer meeting, I felt that that God has made us sons and daughters. The Bible says that each one of us here were enemies of God. It's not like my son is born and he's very cute. You must see him now. 6 months old, my wife goes, we need to have another one. And I go like, remember the no sleep. But as cute as he is, he's born an enemy of God. Please don't run out yet. An enemy. We were orphans. We were alone in darkness, had no father, no relationship with the Father because of sin that separated us, breaking the law of God. Our hearts, everything in us wanted nothing to do with God. You know, the process of salvation is this. That your, and this is a miracle by itself, that your heart wants nothing, nada, zero to do with God. The Bible says you were blinded. There's a veil in front of your eyes. You can't even see God. And then he comes and he reaches out and he brings faith. And there's a moment where you go, this is it. There's life here. This man died on the cross for me. There's something that's happening, a recalibration, something that's happening in my heart. I feel the life. I feel something's happening. And I say, yes, Lord. I say, yes. And the miracle, I'm like, the miracle, because none of us, out of our own strength, can get ourselves to God the Father and make ourselves sons and daughters or friends. It was only through the work of Jesus on the cross and through the Holy Spirit that when he calls you and you say yes, something happens in you immediately. Your heart becomes alive. There's something of, I want the things of God. Your eyes open. I don't know if you guys had that moment. Like you go like, wow. Some people explain it as everything is just more colorful. But something happens, and God takes that heart of stone, the one that rejects him, the one that's against him, and makes it a heart of flesh. He makes you a son. He makes you a daughter. He calls you friend. He allows you to come sit at the table. Like that verse says, Jesus says, I died. I suffered on earth. I was tempted. I went through beatings. I went through difficult things. I died on the cross. Now come with boldness. Like if JB runs down here right now and runs to me, even though I'm preaching, I promise you I'm not going to go like, whoops, face plant. Bro, I'm gonna bend down and I'm going to pick him up. Because my son's got the right to come to me, because he's my son. You have the right now to approach the throne of grace with boldness. It's a miracle. It's grace undeserving. It's mercy. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We're not coming here to serve a dead God and sing a few nice songs and listen to an average preach. We're coming to meet with the King of Kings. We're coming to celebrate that he has saved us. We celebrate with one another that God has saved you and He saved me. That's why we're doing it. We go to community on a Wednesday not because we have to and we're ticking boxes. We're coming because, man, we're family. We're family. Have you guys thought of it that way? I'm closer to you guys than I'm actually to my blood family. I am. We're family. And when families come together, maak hulle geraas. They eat together. They tell stories together. They celebrate together. I think that's what God wants when we come together. Is that we worship the Father. We meet with the Father. But we also meet with one another. Lord, may you return again to us the joy of our salvation. May we not forget it. May we not just live our lives as normal people, but as sons and daughters of the King. And he goes on in Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40, and he goes on, and a second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? Don't think where you stay now and you go like, oh, I actually don't know Peter there. Who's your neighbor? This guy, that one, person next to you. It's your neighbor. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. These two commandments, that we should love God and love our neighbors, are the foundation of all the other commandments and the teachings of the Bible. Right through the Old Testament, the law of Moses, everything was to love God and to love our neighbor. Into the New Testament, to love God and to love our neighbor. John 13, verse 34 to 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for one another. Now you go, why is this a new commandment? He just said, I need to love my neighbor. Why is this a new commandment? Because Jesus just showed us how to love. He came and he said, you want to know how to love your neighbor? Well, like this. He laid down his life. He laid down his life. He laid down his life. Sacrificially, he chose to lay down his life for us. That is how we love our neighbor, by laying down our lives for one another, the way that Jesus did. That's how we love our neighbor. That is love. Sacrifice. Now, when you come to Jesus, you say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Lord, I don't want to live this life my way. I want to live it your way. That's what you say. Jesus, I don't want to follow myself and my rules and my things. I want to follow your rules. I want to live according to your plans and your purposes. I'm saying no to myself. The old is gone. The new is come. I'm in Christ. I live everything. Soul, heart, mind belongs to you. My actions, everything belongs to you. It's a dying of self. That's what happens in baptism. Gone, the new is come. But you also want to know what it means. And this is what Jesus is saying is, in that same way, we should not think of ourselves more. We should not look at our own interests. We should look at the interests of others. Dying to yourself to love the person next to you. That's how we love. That is how we love. Oh, man. I want to quickly just, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I don't know, in the book of Hebrews, but Philippians. Go read through it in your own time. It's such a beautiful, practical way of how we can love one another and live this Christian life. I just want to pull out three passages out of this long part in Philippians. How do we sacrificially love one another? Because that's the why. The why is because we love Jesus, and the why is because I love you. Because I love the person next to me. Philippians 2 verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant, more important than yourself. Who agrees with me that's very easy and I do it every day? Huh? Count others more significant than yourself. Philippians 2 verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest. That's what it means, that you don't count yourself more significant to the person next to you. Not to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. You're more concerned about the needs of others, those who got saved, those who are around you, than you are with your own needs. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. That's sacrificial love. It's not the Hollywood love where at the end of the movie it goes, I love you, and then it ends. And then they're probably never again together anymore after that. It's not that airy, flaky love. Like the one moment I feel like loving you and the next moment I don't feel like loving you. It's not that love of, yeah. I can work with this. I can see we've got some stuff in common. I can love you. And then the person next to you go like, brr, get away from me. You're just irritating me right now. Am I just saying the truth? I don't know. We have nothing in common. Really. Please don't be in my com. You're laughing, eh? Because, But you see, that's not love. Because love is, I don't care if we differ. I don't care if we look different in personality, our skin, our history, whatever. If Jesus died for you, man, I'm going to love you. I'm going to count you more important than me. I'm gonna try and serve, and because that's humility. It's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking less of yourself. What does it help me? C.S. Lewis, thinking of yourself less. Thank you. That's why you need to write it down, because you're going to quote it wrong. But it's thinking of myself less and going, how can I serve you? Because Jesus says, love one another this way, the way that I have loved you. That's why we come to church. Because I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. I want to just buy you a coffee. I want to just tell me about your day. Just because many times we come like, nobody asked me how I'm doing. Nobody waved at me. Nobody prayed for me. And there is those times. But it's better to give than to receive. It's better to reach out in that moment. There's testimonies here. These guys, they sacrificed their holiday times. I just want to say, midnight, many of these guys were at Steers eating gourmet, so I don't know where the sacrifice is. But they went, and they gave themselves fully, really fully. Leonard and I, we flew. It was easy. These guys drove, and they gave themselves, laid down their desires, their wants, their money, their cars, everything to go like, how can I serve these students in front of me? And they were blessed, yes? They were blessed. They were blessed. And in the last one, how do we love sacrificially? Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. You think you're important? Jesus is important. He could have gone like, I'm God. I'm not going to wash these guys' feet. Like, the angels bow before me. The elders cast their crowns before me. I sit on the crown. I created you. But what does Jesus do? He washes their feet. You know how gross that was? Because these guys walked miles, or sorry, was South Africa, kilometers far in mud and gross places. And then they would come at a house, and it was actually tradition that the servant would wash their feet. The servant of that house would wash their feet. But Jesus comes and he says, I'm washing your feet. I'm washing your feet. Yes, we can go and go wash one another's feet at calmness. But what is he actually telling us? He's saying, I'm coming to serve you. That's what he did. I came to serve you. Are we serving one another? Are we becoming servants, slaves of one another? And it says, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself. Sacrificial love is selfless, less of self. It's counting the person next to you more important, more significant. It's not looking to your interest only, but to the interest of others. And it's becoming a servant that serves the person next to you. When Jesus says love, that is what he's saying. It's the ultimate form of love. The world has distorted this thing. And it's interesting. I'm going to end with this. It's interesting that he says this, John 13, verse 34 to 35. He says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you walk in your calling, if you have success, if you have amazing gifting, if everyone knows your name, if you're wealthy, no. If you love one another. When an unbeliever walks through those doors, do they see the love of Jesus? Do they see the love of Jesus? When you walk in your workplace, and you're not list for work, do they see the love of Jesus? When you walk on campus, do they see the love of Jesus? When you go to the shop and that Tani Haarklops with the trolley in front of you, do they see the love of Jesus? We can search for all the amazing next revelation, next calling, next thing. But if we miss this, then it's all in vain. Corinthians. Paul writes, he begins with giftings, spiritual giftings. And then suddenly he jumps to love in Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13. And then he goes back to giftings and spiritual stuff. Why is love in the middle? Because he says, if you don't love and you do all these things, move mountains, pray out loud, prophesy, whatever, but do not love. Even burn your body and die. but you do not love. It's like a clanging cymbal. It's a geraas. Love. It's love. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we go to community. That's why we have people in our homes. That's why we come here. Is to love Jesus extravagantly. Extravagantly. And to love one another extravagantly. Why? Because he's worthy. Guys, he's worthy. He's so worthy. The King of Kings who died on the cross, lived a perfect life, died the death that you and I should have died, took all shame, all guilt, all sin upon himself, and the worst thing, took the wrath of the Father that you and I should have taken upon himself, so that you and I can be in relationship with the Father. So you and I are no longer orphans. So you and I are no longer enemies. So you and I are no longer strangers. But we're citizens. We're part of a family. Lonely into family. To love him and to love one another. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That is the reason why I'm standing here and you sitting there. May we return to this simple truth. May we live our lives according to this simple truth. That he is worthy of our lives to love him and to love one another. Can we stand together? Maybe Donnie, you can just... In Revelation, it says this. Return to the things you did at first. That moment when Jesus saved you. That excitement, that love you had for him. That love you had for his people. To return to those things. To sit with him. That he empowers us to love him and one another. So I want to make a call. If you felt like, yes, you've grown a little bit lukewarm, you don't have the joy of your salvation even anymore. You just feel like, yes, I'm just going with the motion. But I want to return this today and say, Lord, restore again the joy of my salvation. Help me to love you sacrificially, selfless, and help me to love those around me. If you want to return today again, maybe just lift your hands. Let's just lift our hands. And I don't want to come and put a spotlight on you, because this is you and Jesus. It's you and him. Just where you're at, every eye closed, just bring that before him. Just before I pray, just prayer. Just pray, you pray. And just ask it to him. Just ask him, return to me, the joy of my salvation. Help me to love like you've loved me. Spirit, we ask, come and awaken again our first love. Stir again a burning heart inside of us. Stir again a passion, Lord, a passion for your name, Lord, that we would love you, Lord, sacrificially giving everything, Lord, and we would love one another with everything that we have. We would lay down our lives for one another, Lord. Stir that, Lord. Awaken that in us again. Lord, I ask that you would show us, Lord, the love that you have for those around us. Stir it in our hearts, Lord. Stir it in our hearts, God. stir it in our hearts, Lord. Do what only you can do, God. Lord, we repent for where we've become stagnant and just went with the motions, Lord, and forgot the why, forgot the person, Jesus. Forgot the person next to us, our neighbor. Forgive us, Lord. Just where you're at, just ask for forgiveness. And the times of refreshing can come when we repent. Thank you, Lord.